racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee. A big warm welcome into the grill room, where we're going to discuss all topics on our golf menu. I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., also known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and he is the general manager of the oldest golf club west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Jay, going to throw a little curveball before I ask you about the weather. What do you know about pickleball?
Pickleball is something that was not around, at least when I was a youngster. My son, a couple years ago, said, I'm going to play pickleball. And I said, what the hell is that? And I guess it's like table tennis and badminton all rolled into one. I'm not exactly sure. Did you find yourself in a pickleball game?
No, I found myself in a pickleball discussion, sat down with Hank Haney. We'll have that a little later on. I thought we were going to talk golf, but all we talked about was pickleball. So pretty interesting stuff. Where do you hear what we came up with? But I'm guessing that the roses are not blooming at Normandy right now. Probably pretty chilly.
I woke up this morning, and on my television screen, it shows the temperature. And Bob, it said -1 or -1. And a little later in the morning, it got to -4. It's not a good time, but as anybody that's ever spent any long time in St. Louis, give it a couple of days and it'll change. It's supposed to be 60 on Sunday here, and that means I'm going to see human beings, and they're going to be playing golf at Normandy.
That is pretty amazing stuff. Speaking of amazing stuff, how about Justin Rose? Wins his 10th PGA Tour title, did it at 21 under par, and that made him the winningest player from England since 1945. Listen to these numbers, Jay. He's had 326 starts on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I think he's in a pretty good age, 38 years old, a couple of months over that. Seems like he can go on for, I would think, what, next 4 or 5 years?
I think absolutely. And you look at his conditioning, he's in good shape. I mean, you got to remember, and you were there, Bob, when he burst on the scene with the chip in at the Open Championship and then went like 0-for-13 in terms of cuts made when he first turned pro. This is a guy that didn't have it off the bat, found it, has continued to make it better, and is the world number one right now. And we had two clinics, one at Torrey Pines and the other in Dubai that we'll talk about, but two of the game's elite players really put on shows. Rose was fantastic.
Yeah, he really was, and this is what he had to say after that victory.
I mean, 21 under par, you know, around Torrey Pines is great golf, obviously, you know, but you had to do it. I mean, Adam Scott got right there and played some great golf coming down the stretch, and it was a tricky day today. I mean, 3-shot lead, never easy, and the start was kind of anything that could go wrong did go wrong, so it felt like I had to work hard for this one today, and winning as world number one, new equipment, really trying to, you know, bed that in, and obviously, you know, that you face a lot of doubt and questions, and people, obviously, you know, rightfully so, they don't understand why I would make that change, but, you know, I make that change with the hopes to get better as a golfer, and, you know, so that made it special this week to sort of see that trajectory, you know, so soon.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people talking about the fact that Justin Rose left TaylorMade after being with them for nearly 20 years. Let's give a listen to what Rose had to say about that.
I really felt that Honma were going to make me the clubs that I wanted to play for the next 4 or 5 years. I felt like the flexibility within the deal helps me to play the ball I want, maybe a special wedge, maybe this, you know, the putter that I wanted to use, you know, the Axis One putter I've been wanting to use for a couple of years now but haven't been able to, and that was a big part of my decision-making process and why I changed equipment. The driver has been the biggest surprise in a positive way. You know, the Honma were going to be very flexible with me, making sure that I was only playing the driver as and when it was going to be as good as what I was currently playing. And it's, you know, it's gone way past my expectations, hence why I played it the first couple weeks of the year. I had no pressure to play it. You know, I still play, I have currently still playing the same TaylorMade fairway woods. You know, I've been a TaylorMade for so long, I didn't know what else was out there. So that was a slight, you know, gamble to it, but I trusted the R&D, I trusted the team at Honma. They were going to build me something pretty special, and I was going to wait to play it until it was, you know, I wasn't going to play it until it was good enough. And that's what, you know, that was the reassurance they gave me, and that made it very little risk for me. But it's put in play the first week. So yeah, I mean, everything has worked out better than I would have hoped, for sure, the first couple of weeks. And you know, winning in January, we talked about it. I think 2002 was the last time I won in January. So definitely sets up the year. Means you can really focus on, you know, you're not having to chase points as much, and you can build a schedule that works for you and try and peak for the majors.
One thing of note, Jay, that I was kind of surprised when I heard about it, but then it made all the sense in the world. Mark King was CEO of TaylorMade while Justin Rose was there. He was hired as a consultant by this Japanese luxury brand, Honma, and suddenly Justin Rose is a Honma player. And in case you're thinking about a set, Jay, run you about $75,000 for a set of these clubs. I don't know if you want one or two sets.
Well, yeah, as I've mentioned before, a lot of the Asian community in St. Louis comes out here to Normandy and tees it up. And once in a while, I'll see that Honma brand, a set of clubs, and they are beautiful. I've known about them for a number of years, but they've primarily been in Japan. Some club fitters across the U.S. have carried them and have been successful with them. But this was, like you said, an interesting deal to see a player out of that TaylorMade staff. And when you look at the TaylorMade staff, they're going to be okay. I mean, they've still got Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Rahm, Jason Day, Tiger Woods. But a big move for Justin Rose, and we know how big the game of golf is in the Far East. So good for him. I think you could maybe get in around 10,000 on those clubs instead of 75. But if you wanted to go with all the bells and whistles, 75 is a lot for a set of golf clubs.
Well, I may get your specs. I might have to look into that for you. By the way, Justin Rose, he goes over the $50 million earning mark with that victory. Adam Scott also passed that $50 million mark. And how about this, Mr. Randolph Jr.? I'm sure your dad would shake his head hearing it. Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus combined never made $50 million. So times are changing, my man.
I mean, Samuel Jackson Snead wouldn't know what the heck is going on if he saw that. I mean, Sam won 82 times. I think with all the money Sam won, it was like $647,000 or something. It's all changed, and they're playing for big money. And as we've talked about, once again, we saw last week with a stellar field, guys are playing early, guys are playing golf courses that they want. We're going to talk about coming up in just a little bit, the week that is in Phoenix. They've got a ton of players in the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings. Guys are playing early in the year.
Yeah, they really are. I was so delighted to watch Adam Scott perform. You know, when they banned that anchoring putting method, it kind of threw him for a curveball. But he was 14th in putting at Torrey Pines, needing just 28 putts each round. And the quality ball striker that Adam Scott is, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Jay, that if he gets it rolling on the green, he's certainly capable of winning at least one more major, maybe even multiple majors.
Absolutely. I mean, always been one of the elite ball strikers in the game. The putting has always been his bugaboo, but, you know, he looked like he's primed and ready for a big year, which he hasn't necessarily looked like the last couple of years. A lot of good mojo with Adam Scott right now. The other thing that was good to see was Hideki Matsuyama off the milk carton. I mean, this guy had been lost for a while. Matsuyama shoots 16 under and maybe says, hey, I've figured things out. And what a two-week stretch for a guy like Taylor Gooch. I mean, his life basically changed in a two-week stretch. It wasn't like Adam Long winning, But Taylor Gooch went tied for fourth and then tied for third, or he went solo fourth at the Desert, tied for third here. He went from 157 on the FedEx Cup rankings to 27th. What a huge 2 weeks for him.
Yeah, some good, some solid performances by some big names that were playing at that Farmers Insurance Open. You know, Jason Day came in as defending champion. He finished tied for fifth. John Rahm was knocking on the top of that leaderboard door for the entire week, just couldn't get enough putts to go. He tied for fifth. Rory McIlroy, I would have to say he was satisfied with his performance as he gears up for the majors, obviously wanting that Masters title to complete the career Grand Slam. And your thoughts on Tiger Woods? He finished double digits under par. I would think, well, I'll get your thoughts right after we hear from Tiger.
You know, I get a little bit sharper each and every day. Yeah. And the rounds got a little bit cleaner, made less mistakes. I started to get the feel back for hitting the golf ball under tournament speed. It's a little bit different. And, you know, I felt like I started to get my irons to hit the ball the right distance, you know, on the weekend. I didn't quite make as many putts as I wanted to, but I felt like I was hitting the ball on my line. I just was not reading them right.
Your thoughts on Tiger's performance, Jay?
Well, I thought just like he said, you know, it was getting back. It was, you know, getting your feet under him. He shot 270s. Did not play well in the third round, but did finally get it going towards the end of round number four. You know, a cut made, decent play on Sunday. Kind of what I expected from Tiger. And, you know, we'll know more by Bay Hill and get a better feel, but I thought it was a decent start. And, you know, the guy I've been tracking and watching so closely since really the British Open has been Jordan Spieth. Now, I was really excited about the start. He shot 7-under in the opening round, but then backed it up with three straight 72s. So while Tiger kind of started off slow and built a little momentum and had a good final round, Spieth did it all in one day and didn't take advantage of the final 3 days. So I'm still kind of, you know, watching to see exactly where both these two guys are.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I mean, right now, you would have to say, based on, you know, a limited amount of time that we've got to observe them, that Tiger may be going in a better direction than Jordan Spieth. Spieth, obviously, with his talent, winning three majors already, has the ability to turn it around at a drop of a hat. We'll have to wait and see. We won't see Tiger for a couple of weeks. He'll be playing at Riviera, where he actually played his first PGA Tour event, which seemed like about 50 years ago. Why don't we jump over the pond on the European Tour last week? Bryson DeChambeau, and that name just keeps coming up and coming up. Well, he proved that he's a worldwide winner, dominated the field with a 7-shot win in Dubai at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. And DeChambeau told us this.
It's not about winning by 7 or 10 or whatever, even just winning by 1. It's about what I know I can do. And so I've got a certain expectation value. And yeah, obviously winning is fantastic, but you know, I want to do my absolute best every time I come out here. It's incredibly special. You know, this is one that I've always wanted to get ever since coming here in 2016. It's something that I will forever cherish.
We got to start taking a real hard look at Bryson DeChambeau if we're going to do our listeners any service at all, because week by week, tournament by tournament, victory by victory, he just seems to be escalating up that power ranking as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's on his way to number one in the world. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, and Bob, as you had tried to educate people on DeChambeau, this was a guy that dominated at the amateur level, the collegiate level. So, you know, why can't he do it at the professional level? You hear in his voice the confidence, and confidence is such a huge part of this game. he totally believes in all the things that he's doing to make himself a better player. And seemingly, with the flagstick issue, we're seeing so many other people start to jump on board. I mean, everybody was looking, well, this DeChambeau's going to use the flagstick in on the greens. Now just about everybody's doing it, or going to do it, I think. It's going to be the standard rather than an exception. You know, and now we've got this event this week, which is so huge and so historical. I mean, when you think about where our game has come and where the world has come, this week in Saudi Arabia, there's going to be a European Tour event. It's the first time there's been an international golf tournament in Saudi Arabia. And who do they have? Well, they got the two hottest cats in the world getting ready to collide, Justin Rose and Bryson DeChambeau. Plus, you got Ian Poulter, you got Dustin Johnson, you got Brooks Koepka, you got Patrick Reed, Sergio, Westwood. And I know they're probably paying a lot of show-up money, but I don't care. I mean, this is a significant event that, to be honest with you, and I love the fun and all the good stuff that happens at the Waste Management Open with the greatest show on grass. You're going to have a tremendous show in the desert in Saudi Arabia, I think.
Well, Jay, let me tell you how special what's happening in Saudi Arabia really is. It has been since 2012 that any European Tour event has had the number one, the number two, the number three player in the world. And this week they have it in Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson. I mean, I know there's some controversy surrounding playing in Saudi Arabia. Certainly very distasteful with what happened to the reporter from the Washington Post. But I think somehow, Jay, we have to endeavor to try and keep politics out of golf and let golf be for the sake of golf. I'm sure some people will disagree with me on that and not be happy that they're even playing in Saudi Arabia. But, you know, they do have the top three players in the world there. And as you said, some other studs too, Patrick Reed and Garcia and Martin Keimer. And I just want to mention Martin Keimer. I'm going to keep an eye on him this year. You know, at one point, he looked like he was unbeatable. He's gotten off the rails of late. I would think this is going to be a very important year for him to reestablish himself as one of the best players in the world.
Well, I mean, can you imagine if we get down to the final round and you've got Rose, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Koepka in the mix? In the first time that an international golf event has been in the wealth-laden country of Saudi Arabia? I mean, it shows how global our game is. And like you said, there'll be some people that don't like the fact that they're playing in Saudi Arabia, but maybe golf can be somewhat of a healer in places in the world where we need it. We see it in our country with the support that golf gives our wounded veterans and vets in general. So maybe it'll end up being a good thing. I just hope it's a great tournament, because with that type of field, I'm looking forward to it probably as much as any event leading up to the Masters.
Well, you're right about that. And when we come back, we certainly are going to talk about a great event.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. We're heard just about everywhere. Armed Forces Radio, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, of course, Alexa, and right in St. Louis on the Big 550 KTRS. When we return, oh, it's a party, but there's also golf going on. We'll talk about the greatest show on grass, the Phoenix Open, right after this.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. We've talked about all that happened last week in the world of golf, but this week is a big week, as we mentioned in our previous segment, with the event in Saudi Arabia on the European Tour. Bob Bubka, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG on Twitter, and I'm STL Golf Geek. And Mr. Bubka, this is a unique event. One time a year. I think it's perfect for the PGA Tour. I've done it a number of times. You've been there. I know a lot of golf fans try and at least get there once in their life. The Waste Management Open, it's a party.
Well, it certainly is a party, and I think it can best be described. Kenny Perry had shared this with me years ago. He showed up to play in the Waste Management Open, checking into his hotel. And the girl behind the counter said, what are you in Phoenix for? He said, well, I'm here for the Waste Management Open. She said, oh, I love that event. That is so cool. I go out every night.
I love it. I mean, it's there are people that will not see a lot of golf shots but have a lot of fun and have a lot of stories. And then there's some people that will park themselves around the most exciting hole in the PGA Tour, the 16th, the TPC, and try and get gifts from players after they hit their shots. It's a unique deal, and it's a tremendous amount of sponsorship. Both you and I know how dedicated the Thunderbirds are and have been in the Phoenix Scottsdale area for Special Olympics and Boys and Girls Clubs. You know, when it's all said and done, the real winners are the charities. But Bob, last year they had 719,000 people come through the gates, 218,000 on Saturday. That's crazy. I mean, 30 to 40,000 is great crowds. This is just, it's its own animal.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about this event, and you alluded to it a little bit, but I've said for years, more people attend the Waste Management Open in Phoenix and have a blast and never get to see a single golf shot. And, you know, it begs the question right off the top, why don't more tournaments around the country try and duplicate it? Well, I can assure you, Jay, that representatives from just about every tour stop, and I guarantee you sometimes more than once, they have gone to Phoenix. They have tried to unlock the secret to their success, but it works here for them, the Thunderbirds. People have tried it elsewhere. It just doesn't seem to work. I mean, that 16th hole, the par 3, where, I mean, you hit a tee shot and you miss the green and you get booed. I mean, you don't have that. You don't have that in golf. And, you know, one of the cool things they had for a couple of years, and then I think the PGA Tour worried about some injuries or maybe even worse, they would have a race by the caddies to see who could get to the green first. And people delighted in that. And now the players are part of the mix. They'll either bring hats or T-shirts or golf balls to throw as they walk from that 16th tee to the green. Don't forget, way back when, early in his career, Tiger Woods, playing that 16th hole, knocked it in for an ace. I mean, that was probably, and still is, the loudest roar ever heard in the world of golf. So, to tournaments elsewhere, don't try and copy it, because I can assure you it just can't be done. And you know, you talk about the size of the crowds, Jay. Part of the benefit, they have a tremendous area for being able to park a car. If you can't do that, if you can't get the cars parked, you can't get the people in there. And then they have that famous bird's nest that cranks up right after play is over. And I have spent a couple of nights in that bird's nest and woke up the next morning wishing I hadn't. But it's certainly a lot of fun. 21 of the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings are in the field. So it's a good field. Gary Woodland is the defending champion, playing pretty well. Gary Woodland, I still say, has the greatest walk in golf. What John Wayne was to walking in movies, Gary Woodland, Jay, is to walking on a golf course.
Well, and he's starting to play good again. He's one of those guys that bombs it when he putts well. I've noticed the last couple of events he's played, he's building some momentum, so watch for that. You've also got Rahm playing where he went to school, Justin Thomas, Hideki, who showed life last week, Mickelson, a three-time winner of this tournament with the ASU connection. We saw Kuchar with that brilliant performance at the Sony Open. Ricky Fowler, where does he stand these days? Where in the landscape of all these great players? Xander Schauffele, who just continues to play good golf. Adam Long did an interview with my friend Skip Bergmeier this week, and Adam Long told him, he said, "Skip, I don't know when I can take a week off. I mean, I get to Riviera, Pebble Beach. I mean, you know, so it just shows how it's tough for a young kid to say no." And then you got some veterans who are playing this week, KP, Kenny Perry, and Steve Stricker. So, you know, I think both events this week, the event in Saudi Arabia on the European Tour and the fun that'll be had at the Phoenix Open, should be great golf theater during a week that's also focused on the Super Bowl down in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk a little bit about that as we wrap up this week's show. But the other thing that's amazing to me, for the sixth year in a row, they've had zero waste. I mean, they take waste management very seriously. They'll have an all-day green out. Everyone is encouraged to wear green to support the green eco-sensitive efforts of this tournament. Can you imagine 700,000 people, and at the end of the week, there's no waste? To me, that's pretty strong.
They make that priority number one, does the company, and the spectators know it, and they do it with care. And it's, like I said, and I'm glad you said, Bob, hey, to the tournament directors out there, the people that are on golf tournament committees, don't try and duplicate this. It's a unique event. I think it really only works there. And it's kind of the one time a year where you can be a little rowdy. The players know it's going to be a little different. But I think, you know, to try and duplicate this a couple of times a year is a mistake. I think it works best out there. They got the big screen if you want to watch the Super Bowl afterward. And you mentioned the Crow's Nest. It's a great event. I did want to ask you, I know coming up we're going to hear your interview as we continue our interviews with fantastic instructors like we did with Justin Rose's instructor, Sean Foley. Hank Haney's going to join the Grill Room on this edition. But what were your thoughts on the merchandise show after it all wrapped up?
Well, it was pretty amazing. You know, over 1,000 exhibitors, anything and everything in the world of golf is there. I think there was somewhere around 100 different manufacturers of golf tees that will guarantee that you won't hook it. Golf tees that'll guarantee you won't slice it. Golf tees that say you'll hit it further. Golf tees that say you'll hit it straighter. I mean, they stretch your imagination. And, of course, you'd have to walk well over 10 miles if you wanted to see every booth. We didn't come anywhere close to that. We met some great people from Blinks Golf. And you know, you think that's a brand new company, but they've been around for quite a while. Fred Couples with his boom boom driver. Ernie Els won a major using Links Golf. Really have some exciting equipment. Nice people there, and you know the show is the show. Jay, you've been there. You're exhausted at the end of the day, but in order to be up to date on as much as possible in this golf business, you really have to attend. And want to salute Sherry Major. She's been at the helm for the longest time, and she does a good job.
Well, Bob, it is Super Bowl week. 20 years ago, I went to my first Super Bowl week on Radio Row when the Rams, the St. Louis Rams, made it to the Super Bowl against the Tennessee Titans. And then 2 years later, I was in New Orleans and attended the game when the Rams lost to the New England Patriots. Of course, a lot has happened since then. The Patriots have continued to win and be the dominant team, and Brady the greatest of all time, at least in my mind. And the Rams have moved. and so this is a unique Super Bowl for a lot of folks in St. Louis. I'm just hoping for a good game on Sunday night.
Yeah, that's what I really hope for, a good game and the team to win that I'm going to bet on. Those are my only two my only two requirements.
Those are good requirements to have. Hey, when we come back, we just talked about the merchandise show. A couple of weeks ago, we featured Sean Foley, one of the game's top instructors. And one of the other game's top instructors was down at the PGA merchandise show, Hank Haney. And Bob got the chance to catch up with him. We'll hear that when we return on the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Great to have you with us wherever you're listening on all the various outlets. I'm STO Golf Geek, Jay Randolph Jr. on Twitter. He's Bob Bubka, V-O-G, and that V-O-G, it stands for the voice of golf.
Our next guest is Hank Haney, and if you think we're going to talk golf, wrong. I want to talk about pickleball. I know nothing about pickleball. I'm listening to you talk to our good friend Jeff Rude, and you're very excited about this sport, which seems to be sweeping everywhere. Give me a definition from Hank Haney on what pickleball really is.
I mean, I love pickleball. I'm a pickleball fanatic. It's like you play in a court. You can put four pickleball courts on one tennis court. So it's a small court. Usually you play doubles, so it's a real social game. The learning curve's really shallow. You play with a paddle. It's kind of like in between ping pong and tennis. But I play pickleball all summer long. I play like golf and pickleball. That's my two deal.
So, Hank, let me ask you, degree of fitness, to play pickleball, the fitter you are, the better player you are?
I mean, it helps for sure, but it's also just great exercise, and it is a true lifetime sport because there's people that play pickleball that are, you know, 80, 85 years old, and they're still playing pickleball and enjoying it. You know, there's not many lifetime sports. I mean, golf's one of them for sure. And I don't really think, you know, necessarily that tennis is, but pickleball and golf definitely are, and I guess that's why I gravitated toward it. I mean, I'm getting up there, so I got to have something to play the rest of my life.
So let me ask you this, Hank. I do not have a pickleball court in my yard like you have. Can I practice without being on an official pickleball court?
You can, but it'd be nice if you had a net there to hit over, you know. But there's pickleball courts everywhere. I mean, and especially like, well, I mean, here in Florida, I mean, retirement communities. I mean, if you don't, literally, if you don't have pickleball, it's like not having a swimming pool. I mean, you're out of business. I mean, it's a huge. I think like 125 courts or something at the Villages. I mean, it's like a big deal. It's a really fast growing sport, really fun. A lot of golfers are into it too. I play a lot of golfers at some of the Discovery Land properties. I played this summer with Matt Kuchar. He's really good, by the way. Phil Mickelson loves it. He's really good. A lot of guys I play. Ricky Barnes, I play with him a lot in Scottsdale. He's a really good player too. It's an athletic game. It's fun. It's a good pastime, and you know, you get a little competitive juices going, so it's pretty cool.
Well, with Hank Haney, and it's hard to imagine on my journey to the PGA merchandise show, never in my wildest dreams that I would ever think that I would have the opportunity to sit alongside Hank Haney and not talk golf right now, but talk pickleball. You have piqued my curiosity. I'm definitely going to check it out. A little bit about golf before we let you go. As I see it, Hank, I see it at the professional level with the outstanding young players that are coming aboard. They're not only great on the course, they're great off the course. They're very talented. Some of the old-timers, your prize pupil for a while there, Tiger making a resurgence. But at the amateur level, it seems to be clogged up a little. Am I seeing it accurately, or do you feel different?
No, I think that's a good point. Although junior golf is really big, and junior golf is really good. There's a lot of great players in junior golf. There's a lot of great players in college golf. But, you know, amateur golf is kind of fallen by the wayside, it seems like. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. It certainly doesn't get much notoriety. I mean, you know, in any sport, you need somebody that's kind of a bell cow. And amateur golf really doesn't have that. The great players in amateur golf are all college players, and they, you know, go on to play pro, and, you know, it's kind of the way it is now. But, you know, golf in general, I think, is great. It's amazing how much younger the players are, you know, to your point. That's probably the reason why there's not so much in amateur golf. It's just the players are so young now and so good at such a young age. It's just absolutely amazing.
Hank Haney's our special guest. He's legendary as a golf coach. What is Hank Haney thinking when Bryson DeChambeau is on the TV screen?
I love watching him. I think Bryson DeChambeau is a great personality, a great star. He's an incredible player. I love that he has his own way of doing things. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. I mean, those are the kind of players that I really pay attention to, and I think he's got it. Whatever it is, he's got some of it.
Well, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time and certainly appreciate this opportunity to learn a little bit about pickleball. Thank you, Hank Haney.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.